know that several of our parents, I've spoken to board members already, and I think...
Call to order our regular business meeting on May 21st, 2020, at approximately 7:04. If we can have roll call.
Vice President Chung?
Here.
Member Fay?
Here.
Member Kobus?
Here.
Member May?
Here.
Member McCluskey? Member Rotroff?
Here.
President Kowalczyk?
Here. Okay, we're going to start our meeting with new business for election of board education officers. So, we need a motion to appoint a chairman pro tem.
I move to appoint Dr. Altmuller as chairman pro tem. This is Kimberly.
Thank you, Kim.
This is Brian. I'll second it.
Thank you.
Eileen, call for a vote.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Call for a vote.
Member Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member Kowalczyk?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey? Member Rotroff?
Yes.
We need a motion to appoint a secretary pro tem.
This is Vicki Chung, and I move to appoint Virginia Webster to serve as secretary pro tem.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Member Kowalczyk seconded the motion. Can I have a vote, please?
Member Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member Kowalczyk?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
The chair will entertain nominations for board president to serve for a term of 1 year.
This is Jennifer Kobus, and I nominate Eileen Kowalczyk for president.
Board member Kowalczyk is nominated. Are there any other nominations for the office of president? If there are no further nominations, nominations for the office of president are closed. I instruct the secretary pro tem to record a unanimous vote for member Kowalczyk, and she is thereupon declared elected. President Kowalczyk will now assume her position as president.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right. Let's see here. Now, are there any nominations for board vice president to serve for a term of 1 year?
This is Rachel Rotroff, and I nominate Vicki Chung for vice president.
This is Brian. Okay, I'll second that.
You didn't have to second. Thank you, though.
Okay.
I wasn't quick enough.
Thank you. High five.
Board member Chung is nominated. Are there any other nominations for the office of vice president? If there are no other nominations, nominations for the office of vice president are closed. And the secretary pro tem, if you could retort, unanimous vote for that member, and thereupon elected vice president. I'll get it out eventually. Now, are there any nominations for board secretary to serve for a term of 1 year?
Yes, this is Vicki Chung, and I nominate Virginia Webster for board secretary.
Virginia Webster is nominated. Are there any other nominations for the office of secretary? If there are no further nominations, nominations for board secretary are closed. And if the secretary pro tem record the unanimous ballot for her, and she is hereupon declared elected. There's a lot of hers and she's. There's a little prediction going on over here, I think. And then
we will now take,
Elaine, you could administer the oath.
I'll administer the oath. So would the president, vice president, and secretary please repeat after me? I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The State of Illinois.
And the policies of this Board of Education.
And the policies of this Board of Education.
Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of, state at your office.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of
Vice President.
Of the Board of Education of School District 57.
County of Cook, State of Illinois.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
You are hereby seated.
Yay. All right. Do we have, next up is communications and SSPO reports. I know we're going to be talking about the budget later, but is there any report that you might have for us, Brian?
You know, I don't. I did attend the NSSEO meeting, but I just arrived home from work and I didn't have time to grab my notes. So generally we talked about coronavirus and remote learning and you know, things like that. It went fine.
Okay. And then for my board president report, where the June 4th is going to be the superintendent's evaluation closed session meeting. And it will be starting at 7 o'clock, right, Elaine?
Correct.
Okay. And I believe that was all I had for my board president report. Next up, we have community comments. And I have some of those to read today. Right here? Okay. First up is Samantha Van Buren submitted a email. And she said, hello, I am seeking clarification on budget items on the revenue report. Kids Corner and Circle of Friends are listed together as one line item. On the expenditure report, line 3000 is for child care services. What is this child care? Is the child care the same as Kids Corner or something different? Are the child care services including both Kids Corner and Circle of Friends? Interesting that they are included on the same line. Thank you. Does anybody have any comment or yes, Adam, sorry.
The child care services are Kids Corner services.
Uh-huh.
And it's not interesting. It's the state codes, the state function numbers from the state budget. So the on the revenue side, Circle of Friends and Kids Corner can go in at one spot. But on the expenditure side, only Kids Corner comes out of child care services.
Okay.
And what and the comment that you just read, I responded to Ms. Van Buren with that same answer.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And then next up, we have from Lance Kirsch. He wrote, my son will be starting at Lincoln in sixth grade this fall. He has completed spring e-learning at Fairview. My question concern is in regards to if students will be continuing e-learning into the fall of 2020. Can the teachers coordinate mandatory daily Zoom video or similar online platforms regarding class projects, assignments, question and answer sessions? I feel we didn't get much of that last semester at Fairview. However, I do understand the unprecedented nature of these times and feel everyone is doing their best. Thank you for your time, consideration, and all your hard work. You are appreciated. I don't know if there's any.
At this point, we will have a report on remote learning from Mary a little bit later in the meeting, and she can address that.
Okay. And then next up is from Ann. I don't know if it's Nejman or Naaman. I want to preface this by saying that my children's teachers and administrators have been awesome. They have done a ton to make sure that my kids' education continues to progress, and I love them all. I am hoping that for next school year that more formal learning can be done if remote learning has to continue or is used intermittently. I'm sure you're already developing plans for this. Would it be possible for the students to start their class day in a more normal way? Like each morning, a Zoom meeting with their teacher to introduce the day's topics. As a stay-at-home mom, I've had it pretty easy. I can dedicate my day to keeping my kids on task, but I am not their best teacher. Their best teachers reside in their schools. Thank you for your consideration. So, same kind of line of question for the last one. And then the last one is from Lisa Hazopoulos. Please explain why there was and is reference to 1994 referendum on debt summary schedule, and what is remaining balance, and how many times had this been refinanced? Second question from my husband, if need be, what is, was payment planned for addition, and what else are we paying Nicholas and Associates for, and please share contracts. And Adam, did you want to take that one again?
Do you want to read the statement, and then I can elaborate on just that first one?
Okay, sure. I already tossed the paper down. Let's see. All right. Please explain why there was and is reference to 1994 referendum on debt summary schedule. What is remaining balance, and how many times had this been refinanced?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to read it?
No, I read. Did you hear me?
Yeah. Did you want me to? Okay. Here. Give me a second.
Okay.
Give me a second. Sorry about that. So the 1994 references are made to the debt service extension base. It is ironic that 1994 was the same year that Fairview was built, and sometimes individuals misconstrue that year as being related to the referendum, but really that 1994 year is related to the debt service extension base. All of the bonds related to the 1994 referendum were retired in 2014. The 2019 bonds that were refunded last year were refunds of the 2010 A bonds. None of these bonds are connected to the 94 referendum. And what it was is it was a refinancing of 2007 debt certificates, which were used to capital improvements at all buildings, but mostly at Westbrook to get Westbrook back up to speed after the district took over the took back from leasing to NSSEO.
Okay. And I know you said you responded to her other part of the question already, and that's really nothing to kind of get into here with Nicholas and Associates.
Yeah, no, I mean, the basics is that Nicholas and Associates is the construction manager for the school district. It's been construction manager since 2007. As the construction manager, they manage the bidding process. All of the bids for all the bid packages are publicly bid. They check references, and then all of the payments flow through Nicholas to the individual agents that are bidding. And then based on our bid packages and the amount of we do in construction, we pay Nicholas and Associates 4.5% of the contract value for these jobs. And that's to have a full-time superintendent on site, a full-time project manager, and a safety director.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next up is staff reports and superintendent report, transportation.
I've asked Adam to give us an update on the transportation contract. Adam?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to point out a few things. As we all know, we've been out of school for a while. And as a result of that, we had an opportunity to renegotiate the last 2 months of this transportation contract, where we are paying a reduced rate for student, because we were not taking full advantage of those services. With that being said, and you know, most of you know this already, but I just want to reiterate for everybody, we are beginning to give reimbursements to families for the months of April and May. The reimbursements are based on how much they paid, based on if they paid the early bird discount or the regular rate. So we're giving those reimbursements to families. And connected to that, because we still don't know what is going to happen in the fall, we try to take the proactive stance of not providing as many reimbursements by pulling the transportation fee out of registration. So when families go through the registration process right now, they will still sign up for busing. They'll still put in their route so that we can get ready for routing when that time comes. But when they go to pay the fee for transportation, they just see a zero value that they're going to pay zero. And then later, when we know we're coming back to school and we know how many months we're coming back to school, we will charge parents at that point.
Okay. I guess I could have asked this question last time when we were talking about transportation, but has the transportation company at all given any kind of prorated rate, kind of like how we've kind of given a reimbursement to people? Are they doing anything in that nature since, I mean, I know we have a contract, but we aren't really using their services. And how is it going to work next year?
So what we negotiated for April and May was paying the bus company 80% of the regular routes. We're not paying for any field trips or athletic buses or late buses, but just the regular routes, we're paying 80% of that. That is with the understanding that the bus company is keeping its employees and they're still paying all of their salaries and benefits, similar to what we are doing with our employees. I would say, you know, in talking to many of our colleagues in neighboring districts, I would say that the 80% rate is about where most school districts are paying. As far as the fall, we have not broached that yet, but depending on, you know, what we hear when, and we have some idea of how long we're going to be out if we are out, I definitely would approach the bus company with a different kind of, proposal, let's say.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? If you do, go ahead. I can't see everybody. I'm gonna take that as no. All right. We're going to go on then to remote learning update. And I first want to say, Mary, you've done an awesome job with the way you put out information to the teachers. And I like the survey, and you, since we get the emails back and all the responses from the survey, awesome job.
Thank you. This has been such an interesting time for all of us as human beings. I don't think there's any sector of being human beings where we can't agree with that statement. But I have been so lucky to be truly, I mean, this is just reinforcing, you know, the team that we have is so strong, and really the building principals have been phenomenal. Trevor and his team have done so much, and, you know, as always, Elaine and Adam as well, you know, everyone has been amazing. Sarah Taborski, I mean, it's I could go on and on about the people that I'm just so grateful for, because it really has been us rowing in the right direction and growing quickly as fast as we can. So, you know, if you've seen some of the responses, some of what I'm going to highlight tonight is going to just kind of give an overview from some of our feedback from staff and families. And, you know, it really has been something that we've put together with very little preparation. I think we are with the majority of districts, even districts who may have had e-learning plans. As we know, those were really developed for a couple days out of school for, you know, blizzard weather. And so even our more, you know, districts who may have been much further ahead of us in those plans and those materials and that technology, I think everyone can relate to the feeling of, we did the best we can, but we're all motivated to continue refining and really look at 2.0 for the possibility of the fall. So a couple key indicators for us are going to be how our staff and our families felt about what went well from our initial model and what really was challenging. And we really need people's candor. So knowing that any good qualitative study is not going to just, you know, use one data point. We are going to have a survey that's going to be pretty comprehensive. We're going to set up a focus group interviews where families are going to get a chance to provide kind of live anecdotal experiences. We really want to structure those as listening tours to not really get into any assurances of can we or can we not actually deliver on people's recommendations on the spot, since so many stakeholders are involved. But we want to be intentional about making sure that what we're hearing from our families is accurately being represented back to our staff groups, who will be working throughout June and July, putting together different possibilities that the fall would look like. Now, simultaneous to that planning, we expect and really hope that we'll have more direction from the governor. And as we do, we'll, you know, adjust accordingly. Everyone's very anxious for that, and knowing that it's difficult for our government to make those projections as well. So I think no one's envious of all of the different players in this, but everyone's really closely connected. We were really proud that when surveyed, our staff indicated that 72%, and this was an anonymous survey, 72% felt very supported by the district and 25% felt supported. We felt really proud of that, and that was really meaningful to us. But it's also going to be extremely important to hear how parents felt, because and Lincoln as well is going to be interviewing surveying students, because we want to make sure we're having feedback loops from everyone who's affected. And we expect there's going to be quite a variable response. You know, many of us have talked to, I'm sure you've talked to friends and neighbors in the community. I've spoken to many families who have contacted me directly or have reached out to Elaine, and I know Elaine's spoken to many families. You know, people have been very positive and reasonable, but I think depending on their situation, the age of their kids, their own demands of work, there's just a lot of complexities here about what their experience has entailed. And one piece for the fall that we're already anticipating is we are going to be delivering new content to students, because it is, you know, important that if we're remote, if we're in person, if we have some sort of hybrid, we need to be delivering new grade level material. So our teachers have already done some virtual articulation where, you know, second grade has identified what they covered during remote learning and exposed students to, but of course didn't expect mastery, and what they didn't because they felt that it was inappropriate or too complicated to introduce remotely. And so we hope that that vertical articulation document will be important and well used by our staff to say, this is where we're going to jump in, whether we're remote or in person. We really want to be proactive and ready to meet kids where they're at. So that is a little bit about that, but I'd be happy to answer any questions or address you know, the question that we got from a parent, anything the board would like to know, I'd be happy to help.
Does anybody have any questions?
This is Kimberly. I just had a comment that I wanted to make, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Mary. I'm really impressed to hear that virtually the entire staff has felt supported to a degree throughout this process. I know from my personal experience, it's been a bit of a struggle to manage the kids' schooling and my own work, and all of our teachers are in that same situation, right? They have to do their own job, but also care for their children and their families as well. And I've been concerned about the impact for them, right? Because it's been a struggle for me. I can only imagine what it's been like for all of them as well. So to know that the district has really been behind them, and your team and, you know, all of the other building staff has really come alongside each other to help through this process, that just makes me so proud to be a part of this district.
Yeah, and I really didn't mention a critical piece too that reminds me, so much of our planning and conversations has been and will continue to be around social emotional supports. And we anticipate that not only our students, but also our staff and ourselves, we're gonna be bringing new versions of ourselves, and our needs are gonna be changing very fluidly. So we're putting together some professional development to help all staff be ready to do some of our restorative practices work virtually, and you know, really not use this time as a barrier to reduce any of that SEL work that we believe so strongly in, but really increase it. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we're using language around trauma. For some families, this is very traumatic. For some kids, you know, not having that stability and that adult in your life or those peers that really, you know, gives normalcy to your day and structure, that's really hard. And I think our staff are going through a lot of grief too, of not sure being able to be with their kids and do what they feel wired to do. So yeah, that SEL piece is going to be critical.
Thank you, Mary. I'm really glad that that's a part of the curriculum, not just for the students, but for the staff too, right? That acknowledgement that we all feel the extra weight of these circumstances and maybe feel it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Certainly, like, my employer has been really on top of that, and I'm glad to see that, you know, being incorporated in this community as well.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments?
I echo everything that Kim just said, and yeah, we really applaud you, Mary. I mean, I know it just takes a village, and this whole, our whole D57 community and the staff and the teachers have really come together. But, you know, thank you, Mary, so much. Like, you and Dr. Almiller really have, yeah, I can't even imagine all the, like, sleepless nights and all the things that must have gone into and continue to go into just planning in such an uncertain time where, yeah, I mean, you're waiting for the governor, you're waiting for, like, all these other people to make decisions before you can implement. So, yeah, just thank you so much. Thank you for being such amazing leaders for our teachers and staff and our students and community. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have one. Mary, just kind of, and feel free to say that you are not yet aware of this, but just kind of anticipating questions from the community, do you have any kind of general timeline about the administration of the survey or the focus groups? Like, is that something that parents should be expecting at the end of the school year, or is that something that we're looking more like midsummer? You know, just if people have questions about that.
Oh, no. Thank you for asking. We'll have that coming out next week in Dr. Almiller's communication, and because we'll need that feedback kind of quickly turned around back to us so that we can, you know, use it to be informative of some initial planning in June. So there'll be a link to that survey, and we'll probably push that out, you know, through social media as well, and make sure that we encourage families to respond. And then for the focus groups, we're really trying to structure those to be pretty small groups, because we have over 100 family members, or, you know, District 57 parents and guardians who responded already. So we anticipate we'll do multiple small groups where just because the feeling of being in, like, pages and pages and pages of these Zoom meetings is so weird. And I think it's bizarre when you're feeling like you're asking questions and wanting to share sometimes personal things, and you can't even see everyone that you're talking to. So I think we're going to structure them to be pretty small. Dr. Hommel and I, we're going to work through some of the logistics of that, but we'll be soon, probably next week, giving some more specifics to people who have replied. But it was very encouraging that we got that great of a response in just, you know, less than 7 days.
And go ahead, Rachel.
Okay. Do we anticipate that there will be extra, like, funding for staff development this summer? Or is that going to be wrapped into the institute days, or how is that going to work?
So we're just learning about our CARES money, and just this week we had more direction about how we can use that. So we'll be looking at how we can take what's been allocated for our district, make sure that we're waiting on some direction from the state about how our non-public schools will also be receiving money from that. But we will have funding available that will be available for things like unanticipated expenses for PD, for technology. So that's really exciting, because it would have been a much bigger challenge to think about how we would address any PD without a budget to work with for this.
Yeah. Well, I agree with everyone else. I just think fantastic job. Yeah. And as much as it's been a struggle from like the parent point of view, also understanding from the teacher point of view, I mean, I think you guys have just done an excellent, excellent job.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.
And I have to say, the latest newsletter that Elaine sent out, it was a great newsletter too, with all the information from all the schools and what they've been doing, and just the Falcon and the Lion doing the signs, and then you know, just the chalk work and the kids and all that stuff. But in there was also a link to a survey, I noticed, also for the parents. Mm-hmm. And is that the same survey that we're talking about, that link? Yeah. For that one? Okay.
Yes, for the focus group, yeah.
Okay. And then also with the questions that were asked earlier, it seems to be more directed towards the fall, so we kind of don't know yet, but we are progressing to it looking still, even if we do or not, we're still going to be planning for it. And it's still going to, and it's going to look different than it did for the spring, because you know more, you'll get more input.
Yes. Yes. And we've had open conversations with our task force, with our staff. I mean, no one is going to be surprised to know that if we are looking at a more sustainable remote learning, it's not going to just be drifting into what we did in the last couple months. We really are going to look critically and identify areas where we can be more consistent and better suited for the needs of students and families. And, you know, a lot of it's complex. I mean, it really demands a lot of buy-in from staff and comfort level with staff training, you know, all the things that go into any changes like this that feel pretty sudden. But yeah, we will definitely not be just saying, we're just going to kind of continue to,
right.
we'll be looking pretty critically at things. Yeah. And some big changes, we think.
Okay, thank you on that. Anybody else, any comments or questions? Okay, I'm going to go ahead then. All right, we're going to go with the consent agenda. And I went over financials with Adam and everything was A-okay. And everybody was here for the last meeting, so if I can get a motion for the consent agenda.
Motion. Anyone? To approve the consent agenda. Oh, sorry. Motion to approve the consent agenda. Number one, minutes of the following Board of Education meeting, the regular business meeting, April 16, 2020, open session, personnel transactions, approve employment and administrative contract of one individual, accept resignation of one administrative employee, approve employment of four certified individuals, accept retirement of one certified employee, accept retirement of one ESP employee, and approve the base salary increase for a payroll specialist. Number three, the financial reports from April 2020. The number four, accounts payable bills. Number five, approve the 2020-2025 district strategic plan, and approve the Board of Education meeting dates July 1st, 2020 to June 30th, 2021.
Second.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey? Member Rotroff?
Rachel, you're muted. I don't know if you said anything.
Sorry, yes.
Okay. And how about Jerry?
I thought Jerry was here, but it looks like he's not here anymore.
I thought he was here too, wasn't he?
Yeah, it shows him on there, but it says the phone thing is gone. Hold on. He told me he was on his way, and that was back at just after 7.
Oh, I'm here.
He's trying again. Here he is. He's back.
Yeah, I think I was over. I was muted on the other end. So, okay. Yeah, my video. But yeah.
And Jerry, do you know what time you arrived? I wrote you arrived, but I didn't write down what time.
I think it was like 7:06.
Okay. All right. And President Kowalczyk.
Yes. Okay, we do not have any unfinished business. And new business is the first read of the Board of Education policies. Did everybody go over those? Exciting stuff, I know. Okay. And next is the NSSEO budget to approve it. Does anybody have any questions for Brian at all regarding the budget? I had one question. The budget change, the idea is that budget completely gone? The funding from the federal government is like almost $11 million.
No, that's now flowing through the member districts and not flowing directly to NSSEO. The funding is still there. Right, Adam?
Yeah. Yes, you got that correct in that the federal government changed the way that IDEA funds will be utilized and allocated. So it on paper, logistically, we're still going to be working in a very similar way between our district and NSSEO. It's just the way that the money flows instead of flowing it from the federal government to NSSEO to us, it'll flow federal government to us, and then we'll be paying NSSEO for professional development, certain staff members. So budget and when we start to go over our budget in the fall, it'll start to look a little different.
Okay. I do remember that conversation regarding them and the issue that they kind of had at first trying to figure out how they would do it. I do remember that conversation. Now.
It's not the preferred way.
Right.
It's a little more cumbersome, but you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
I had a question. This is Kimberly. Being that I'm still kind of getting my feet under me in terms of this whole board member thing, I feel like I don't have a clear grasp just yet about the relationship between District 57 and NSSEO and how the funding works and all of that. I think rather than take up our time here, is there like a resource I can look over and read about it? Or is that something that you all can explain maybe briefly?
Oh, Elaine.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know what? I will get you in contact with Sarah Tiberski and she can give you some oversight. That would be very helpful, I'm sure.
Yeah, just some background to make sure I understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? No. Now, are we going to approve then the NSSEO budget today?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Are you okay with approving the budget, Kim?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, if I can get a motion then to approve NSSEO budget.
This is Brian. Motion to approve the NSSEO budget for fiscal year 2021.
This is Rachel. I second.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Okay, there is no need for board discussion, no need for closed session, and I guess we can adjourn our meeting tonight. So we get a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Vicki, did you second?
Oh, Vicki was first.
I think Kim second.
Kim was second.
Oh, I had it reversed. Okay. So Vicki made the motion and Kim seconded it?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Look at that. Another Zoom meeting under our belt.